Let's continue our conversation with Caitlyn Jenner, whose new book, The Secrets of My Life, is out today. Jenner has been in the national spotlight for decades, ever since Bruce Jenner won the Olympic gold medal for the decathlon in 1976. Bruce Jenner's official transition to Caitlyn happened in 2015 and instantly turned Caitlyn Jenner into an unofficial spokesperson for the trans community. When we spoke at Caitlyn Jenner's house in Malibu, California, I asked what she thought of trans people who are not happy with her in that role.
They don't know me. All sorts of reasons why. And my book is not a political book at all. It's only a page and a half out of 340 pages. But I do lean on the conservative side. I lean more towards the Republican side because I believe in limited government. That's very simple. And that, as I said at the Republican National Convention, it was, you know, it was harder to come out as a Republican than it was to come out as trans, you know. And so because of that, they think just because you're trans, you have to vote Democratic, you know. And I understand that. And a lot of people are confused by that. But they don't know me.
Well, do you have any second thoughts about President Trump, given especially the reversal of the Obama decision on bathrooms?
Title IX. Yeah. Yes, that hurt me a lot. And in fact, I put out a video on it. That was very disappointing. I mean, I had talked to him during the campaign when the whole North Carolina deal was going down. And he actually has a pretty good record when it comes to the LGBT community. In 2012, before all of this, he was a supporter of a girl named Jenna Telekova, who was a trans woman who entered the Miss Canada contest, which I thought was very good. So there was a lot of indications out there that, you know what, he's going to be okay. I did see him at the convention, and he just, like, wanted to play golf. You know, we got to get together, play golf. Now, for me, I love golf. And so it would have been a great opportunity to spend, you know, 4 hours, 5 hours, whatever it is, on a golf course, you know, being able to talk and discuss issues and all that kind of stuff. And then when the Title IX thing came down, I talked to people who were in the meeting, and he made the wrong decision there. He's got so many other bigger issues that are on the table. Why even go there? Just leave it alone. And it really upset me. I think there's a lot of people around him from the conservative side, and in this case, Jeff Sessions, the attorney general. He's the bigger problem. But he let it go through. I mean, you know, so it's, you know, he's the president. It's on his shoulders. So now, you know, I'm thinking, oh, great. You know, he wanted me to come down and play golf. And I thought it would be a great opportunity to spend some time with him. But now he's toxic. I couldn't do it. I mean, if I went down and played golf, I would get destroyed by the community. And my support is not for Republican issues, okay? My support is not for Donald Trump. My support is with my community. So that's where my loyalties lie, with my community.
Would you vote for Trump again?
We'll see what happens in the world. We're a long ways away from that, you know? He's got to do a better job with in the LGBT community. But we'll see. I mean, there's a lot more to being president than, you know, just the LGBT community. Let's see what the world's doing, you know, 3.5 years from now.
One of the things that you say in this book that surprised me and probably would surprise people who know you from television is fame was not important to me.
Not at all. No, it never was. Doing something that right is so much more. I could care less about fame. That's not what I'm in this for. The Games was not about fame. It just so happened that Rune Arledge and ABC spent a lot of time following me during in 1976. And I remember about a week after the Games, I was in New York City. And I had been there about a week before the Games. And I walked down the street, you know, a week before the Games, and nobody said anything. Nobody even said hi. You know, a week after the Games, I mean, there was like traffic jams of people trying to stop to come out to shake your hand. And I thought, wow, the power of television, you know, bringing that into people's homes. But I'm also very proud of that part of my life, you know. But fame, no, it wasn't about being famous, you know. But after that, I just had the opportunity to get into television. I didn't have a job. I was living on $10,000 a year. I was living on nothing. But all of a sudden, television gave me the opportunity to work and make a good living. And there is the, quote, business of fame. And I've tried to work kind of that business for many, many years, 40 years now.
Did you enjoy doing the Kardashian show?
Yeah. Oh, I had a great time. I had some of the best conversations with my kids shooting that show than I ever had privately. Kind of forces you to sit down and look at a lot of the issues with the family. So, it was a great experience, especially for my kids. I mean, because of that, they all have taken that and been very successful at what they do. You know, like, take Kimberly. Being a celebrity is a business, and she has run that business very well and stayed relevant for so many years. I mean, I got a lot of respect for that, and she works hard. All my kids work extraordinarily hard, you know, every day.
You reveal in this book that you had the final surgery.
And I also said it was the last time I was going to talk about it.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're bringing this up. Yes, well, Jeremy, come on.
Well, let me ask you this. Why was it so much of a bigger deal to you than any of the other surgeries that you've had or any of the other things you've had to do to transition?
Well, it's a subject out of respect for my community. It's really a subject that I don't really talk about. I would never ask you such a personal question. Just because you're trans doesn't mean you can ask a trans person any question you want. And that's a very personal thing. So out of respect to the community, I really don't get into it. If you want to, you know, find out my thinking about it and about why I went through that, you know, read the book. I put it all in there. I had to be extraordinarily honest in the book. Being trans is not what's between your legs. Being trans is about what's between your ears. It's who you are. It's about your soul.
One of the things that you do talk about, and I was surprised to see this, and you're probably not going to be asked about this in any other interview.
Oh, so Jeremy, go. Okay, hit me with it.
You were going to be Superman.
Oh, my gosh.
But Christopher Reeve
got the part.
All the way back
that far. Yes. I was, right after the games, about 3 or 4 months after the games, I got a phone call from my PR firm, Rogers and Cowan at the time, and a guy named Dale Olson, says, they want you to do a screen test for Superman. And I thought, well, after the games, I never really thought about, you know, acting. I wasn't even in my school play or any of that kind of stuff. But it was an opportunity to grow. And it was really a lot of fun. I got to wear the cape. I was in the ice castle and and all this stuff. And you know what? They never said no. They always kind of kept me on the sideline. And I would call Roger County. I says, whatever happened to the Superman thing? And they said, well, you're still on hold. And it went for a long, long time. And then eventually they found Christopher Reeve. And he wound up doing it, which was fine. At the time, I thought, I don't even know if I wanted to do it, even if they offered, just because I just came from the Olympics, which is such a strong man image, to playing Superman, which is a really big strong man image. And I never felt it was really me.
Would have been a very different life for you, probably.
It would have been a very different life, yes. And to be honest with you, it probably would have made my life a lot more difficult.
You talk about how your mother, looking back, doesn't love fame and what it does to a person, and said something like she thought it might have been better for you if you'd come in second in the Olympics.
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah. Well, good old mom, love her to death. She has been absolutely great through my entire transition. Pronouns, that's tough for a parent to go through, extraordinarily difficult for a parent to go through. My mom was actually the last one I told.
Was that the hardest one to tell?
Yeah, your mom always, I think, is the toughest one. Because obviously you've had a relationship with her, you know, from day one. And I didn't want her to be fearful for me. You know, like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Because when I decided to transition and I had talked to all my kids and this and that, I remember calling up my sister, Pam, my older sister, and I said, you know, hey, looks like I'm doing this. And her first reaction was, because I had told her 30 years earlier, her first reaction was, oh my God, what are my girlfriends going to say? And my reaction was, well, I'm really not concerned about your girlfriends. Sorry, sis, but, you know, I got to do what I got to do. And so I really, right from the beginning, had no idea how this would come out. It could have gone the other way. It could have gone people going, oh my God, you freak. You know, I really didn't know. Fortunately, it was well thought out. We sat down and we came up with a plan on how to pull this off and do it in a way that, one, respects me and my decisions, and two, respects, even more importantly, respects this community and the struggles that this community has. And how can we do that in a way we can take it out of the gutter and put it on the front page and show some respect to these people because they deserve it?
The book is called The Secrets of My Life. Caitlin Jenner, thank you so much for joining us.
It was absolutely my pleasure and very well done.
You can hear our entire conversation at our website, hereandnow.org.